Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
We are in a new series today. We're starting it. It's going to go for the month of November, and it is called Inside Out. All right. It's all about healthy hearts and healthy minds. You guys know that we think a lot in the fall. We start to think a lot about our physical health, right? People are like, you should get your flu shot, or you should make sure you wash your hands extra, or make sure you're, you know, I don't know, drinking apple cider vinegar and honey or whatever your trick is, lemon water. I don't know. I know that there's several of you that have really good tricks that work really great. But we do start to think about our physical health, but it's also really important that we take care of our spiritual health and our really our hearts and our minds, right? And so when we talk about our soul, we're talking about our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our mind is a very powerful thing. I don't know how many thoughts we have in a day, but we have a lot of thoughts in the day. And spoiler alert, not every thought that you have is good. Not every thought that you have is true. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it is right. And so there's a scripture that actually says, finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, and I'm quoting it, mixing lots of translations right now, but think on those things. Think about the stuff that honors God. Think about the things that are true, and we have to practice setting our minds on it. And so the reason that Pastor Matt wanted us to do this series for November is because we know that we're all basically the same in that we have to keep on training our minds really to surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So I say, God, I love you. I believe in you. I do want to live for you. But what goes on in my mind can be very distracting. It can be unhealthy sometimes. And just like for our physical bodies, we have to keep going back to those things that are good for us because we can get distracted, right? Anybody know, like, holiday food, we're going to get distracted, right? Let's just be real. But we have to keep coming back to what we know is right and what is good for us and make sure that we're consuming enough water and that we're having enough vegetables and things that will sustain our bodies. The same is true for our souls. And we need to be really intentional about what we are putting into our minds, what we are allowing our minds to dwell on. And so the main scripture for today is Romans 12:2, and I'm going to read it for you in the Amplified translation. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and His purpose for you. So do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world." The pattern of this world has superficial values, superficial customs. And so this scripture is saying that there's a pattern and a rhythm to life in this world. There is. There's kind of a way that it goes, just like we heard with the music today. There's a rhythm to the songs, right? And there's a feeling to it. And the world has customs and responses. And I think that we get used to what to expect just based on what's all around us. And we can get caught up in the rhythm of the world without even realizing it. None of us are doing it on purpose, right? We talk a lot about how easy it is to live offended. Anybody get caught up feeling offended by something that somebody said or did, whether it was good that they did it or not, whether their intentions were good or not? You know, sometimes people are just not paying attention. Sometimes people don't realize how what they say or do could impact you. Sometimes people really do have a lot of negative stuff going on inside of them, and they're broken, and maybe they did do something on purpose. You know, but either way, God's interested in our minds being renewed so that we have the responses and the heart position that honors him and that can really reflect God's heart to other people. All right? So this isn't about being walked all over. This is about allowing God to transform our mind so that we see things through his eyes. You know, I don't wear glasses, but there was a time that I did wear glasses for a little bit because it was like helping me see things really, really far away. it was pretty awesome. But there's this thing about seeing things through the right lens, the right perspective, and that clears things up instead of makes it muddy. And when I put on Pastor Matt's glasses, it kind of muddies things for me because those aren't the glasses that I should be wearing. They're not right for my eyes, and I don't need to wear them. So it actually, that lens does not allow me to see clearly. But I did, like I said, I had this pair of glasses that I wore that were designed for me, and it allowed me to see really far away very clearly. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really like how clear everything was. It was like too much for me. I was like, okay, I kind of like not seeing such detail on every single thing. Anyway, but there's this thing that God wants to do in us where through our time in God's word and through our time in fellowship, like our connect groups and our time together, even on Sunday mornings and things like that, where we start to see things through the lens of Christ, which allows us, our thinking, to be different about the stuff that we see. All right, so we're going to actually interpret it differently. We're not going to see it the way that everybody else sees it. All right, so where the world sees you should be offended, you should forget about them, you should do back to them whatever they did to you or whatever the case may be, we're going to look different is actually what I think God is asking of us. So Paul's saying there's a new pattern, there's a new rhythm to life with Jesus, and it involves your mind. It's right here. And renewing your mind, I think, looks a lot like training your mind to think like God does. Training your mind to respond with God's thoughts, to think kingdom thoughts. How does God look at this situation? How does God look at this person? How does God look at me? How does God look at my problem? All right. So what I see, like in this room, is I see a lot of people who have been forgiven, who have experienced the joy of the Lord, but I also know that we're all experiencing real life stuff that's hard on us. And a really important thing that I see that's different in the lives of people that are living in a lot of peace is the fact that they are allowing God's word and God's truth to renew their minds. How they think about themselves, how they think about others. How do we see what's happening in the world around us? Because if I look through the wrong lens, not through the lens of Christ, what I see when I look at this world is, it's looking pretty bad, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, countries are warring against each other. Lives are being lost like crazy. Innocent lives of multiple countries. I care about every person like every innocent human being that is that has lost their life, this is heartbreaking. The families that have lost loved ones. When I see people that are impoverished or the fighting over politics and the name calling and the, you know, all these things, it's very overwhelming, right? And it can make you be either very angry or upset or confused or whatever. But if I look at these things through the lens of Christ, what I see is that the reason that Jesus came to earth was because he knew that we were a broken people. He knew that we were selfish. He knew that we were greedy, right? That money and power and land would be something that we would grasp after and go after. And he says, but I want to put my spirit in you, and I want to give you a new mind. I want to renew your mind so that you see things through the lens of Christ, which is these are opportunities to love people. These are opportunities to show compassion. These are opportunities to show grace to people. Many instances in the Bible where we're asked to, somebody in Scripture is asked to lay something down. And I think that, you know, especially within the church, something that we can model a transformed mind is just sort of laying stuff down and not holding so tightly to things. But laying stuff down and being able to love kind of like this, like Jesus with arms wide open. There's an example of when Jesus called Peter, what did he ask him to lay down? He said, lay down your fishing nets. He says, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. And then there was Hannah. Hannah was, you know, so grateful for the miracle that God did because she couldn't conceive a child, and God gave her a child. And so she dedicated her young son to God, right, for him to serve in the temple. And so she had this perspective of, this came from God, I'm giving it back to him. So instead of, in times of seeing the world in crisis and all that kind of stuff, what kind of a person are we going to be? Are we going to see things through the lens of the world, or are we going to see it through the lens of Christ? Are we going to be greedy and stockpile all the toilet paper because we think there's going to be a shortage? Or are we going to look for how we can, like, give to somebody else who might be lacking? The mind of Christ is not looking to what I can get for me, but what I can give to others. So if I'm collecting, sure, maybe I will collect something so that I can give it to somebody else in need. Because the mind of Christ allows us to look at other people and what they need, and not just me, 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 and, you know, my little group. It expands. The mind of Christ expands our gaze beyond just right in front of us. So it's interesting thinking about our thoughts and how they shape what we do. And how many thoughts I have, I'm always asking myself, is this you, God? Or is this something else? And you kind of have to ask. Sometimes I even say a thought out loud just to see if it really makes any sense. You know, I'm like, is this true? Is this true? And be brave enough to ask, is this true? Because a lot of the time, it's not true. A lot of the time, the things that I'm afraid of or concerned about really is nothing that God says and nothing that God wants me to be dwelling on. And so what is it? Is it your future? Is it your kids? Is it your marriage? Is it stuff you have no control over? The enemy wants us to be stressed out and worried about things that we have no control over, instead of living in a position of surrender and trust to God with a mind that says, Lord, I know that you created me. You put me here on this planet Earth at this specific time in history. It is not an accident that we are here in this Bay Area, in, you know, we could look at it like, oh, it's so expensive to live here. You know what? God keeps providing for us somehow to live here. I don't know how, but he does. So long as he wants us here, he will provide for us to be here. So we don't have to worry, right? That's the mind of Christ. He says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches, right? Not our riches, but his provision. There's a guy who wrote a book. His name is John Mark Comer, and he wrote this book called Live No Lies. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but it's about learning to recognize the lies of the enemy and to live in God's truth. And John Mark Comer says he talks about how the habits you have now are creating your future, right? So what we're doing now will create what we become months, years from now. And he says this: the simple mechanism of mind to thought to action to habit, to character, to either slavery or eternal life is at the very heart of apprenticeship to Jesus. I'm going to say that a little slower because that's a lot of words that in one sentence. The simple mechanism of mind to thought to action to habit to character to either slavery or eternal life is at the heart of apprenticeship to Jesus. So really our minds, this is something where it all starts, our mind, and then that thought, and then that action that we do as a result of that thought. And then if we keep on doing that, it creates a habit, right? And then it forms our character. Okay, so that's why it's really important that we learn to start taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, because it starts to cause us to do actions, good or bad, and then it becomes a habit, and then it forms our character. And so what we're doing today and the things that we're allowing our mind to dwell on are really developing who we are going to be years from now. Well, I can tell you firsthand, fear is a huge thing in my family, like huge. My mom was very fearful. My aunt, terribly fearful. My grandmother, very fearful. I feel like I came from a long line on my mom's side of the family, very fearful people. My dad's side was not fearful at all. They rode motorcycles and raced boats, and they loved, you know, all sorts of things that to me are very risky and scary, okay? They were a fun family. The Payton family was fun, and the Hill family was very fearful. I would like to be like the Payton family, but I'll be honest with you, I inherited that fearful gene where I'm afraid of heights. I don't like to fly in airplanes at all, but I get in them because I want to adventure. I don't want to miss out on life, so I'm going to keep getting on the airplane. But it scares me, the thought of it. I'm so high up. Oh, my gosh. You know, and so I have had in my life many opportunities to just live stuck in that fear. I've talked to you guys before about how when I was pregnant with Kaya, our first child, the doctors told us that I should abort her because she was going to have Down syndrome. They said she was going to have a lot of problems with her kidneys and all these kinds of things. And when I said, no, I'm not going to abort her, then they turned to Matt and they said, you know, can you please talk some sense into your wife? And I was like, hey, my choice, my child. I'm going to keep her. I was already in love with her, and I didn't care what she was like what physical struggles she had. I was going to love my daughter. But fear tries to creep in. How are people going to see my daughter? How are they going to treat her? You know, like all these things, because the world can be cruel. And kids can be cruel, and people, this world is not nice. And so I felt fear. And then I remember distinctly hearing God say, are you gonna allow this to ruin this exciting time of your life, having your first baby, your first child? I'm so excited to have this baby. And I felt like the enemy wanted to ruin it for me. He wanted me to live in fear and to spend that next 4 months scared about the future of my child. And he's like, I've already got your child. I love her. I created her however she is, and you're going to love her. And so obviously I needed to have my husband reminding me of this too, right? But I had to walk through that. And I've told you guys that when I gave birth to Kaya, nobody, not a single doctor or nurse said anything about her one way or the other. They didn't say, oh, surprise, she doesn't have Down syndrome. Or yes, she does. Or anything about it. Not a word. Nobody did any tests. Nobody did anything. I'm looking at her like, how is she doing? Is she okay? Like, is her heart okay? Are her kidneys okay? I'm concerned about this stuff that they told me I was supposed to be fearful about. So much so that I was supposed to end her life. And nobody at that entire hospital even said a word about it. Nothing. It was almost as if the enemy just wanted me to be in fear for 4 months. And here's the thing. If she had had Down syndrome, we would still love her every bit as much. I know that. And I know that, yes, the world would be hard. And, yes, life would be different for us. I realize that because we do live in a broken world. I get that. But I didn't need to live in fear because even Scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. I need to have a renewed mind so that I think the thoughts that God thinks about the situation that I'm in. Because the enemy is working overtime to mess with our minds. I can be fearful about, he goes after moms with their kids. I know. I just know that for a fact. That's a thing that he does because we feel this desire to keep them from any potential harm. And he, you know, it's almost like he kind of tries to capitalize on it. And surrendering even that to God. It could be your job. I know so many people spend so much time afraid of losing their jobs, like constantly in fear. Here's the thing. You have no control over what happens with your job. You just show up to work and work the best that you can, and you leave the rest to God. Sometimes God surprises you with a promotion or a raise when you least expect it. And I just think, thank you, Lord. I really appreciate that. But I also know that if the job goes away, God's going to provide in some other way because that's just who he is. And so I'm just telling you that for me, it's been a long journey of learning to continually allow God to renew my mind and to renew my thoughts and to not give space to anything or anyone that is going to cause me to live in fear or in doubt of God's goodness. So let's think about that, because who do you want to become? Because I do not want my daughters to know me as a scared mother. I want them to know me as someone that trusted in God and that was bold and courageous. And it's not something that comes naturally. So God's getting the credit, right? Every time that we overcome something that people can see as a weakness of ours, we can give God credit and say, I didn't do that. God's just been working in me. Every time that the way that I talk about people shifts and I start talking about them nicer, and looking for the good instead of the bad, I say God gets credit for that because God's the one that renews the way I think about people so that I talk about them differently. So this guy, John Mark Comer, says that when our choices become our habits become our characters, and what starts as an act of the will eventually turns into our inner nature. So essentially what starts as a choice eventually becomes a character. So I have to choose, I'm not going to be afraid. So there's something like action involved on our part. And I'm not saying the power of positive thinking, right? Because it's only God's grace. It's only God's spirit. But how many of you know, if you gave your life to Jesus, there was an action on your part. Right? A lot of people will say, come forward or raise your hand or stand to your feet or say a prayer, because there's an action involved. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. That's a choice, right? There's action involved. So God always gets us involved. Like I mentioned before, 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And I really like this. My brother's pastor says that your victory begins the day you stop being impressed by the size of your problem. Your victory begins the day you stop being impressed by the size of your problem. And I can just tell you, there have been a lot of times when I have a problem and I make it really big. And I'm like, wow, this is horrible. This is huge. And when we allow God to kind of shift our thinking, and we don't see that problem as so big, we see God as so much bigger, then I still recognize the problem. I'm not in denial about it, okay? This is not about being in denial about the realities of the pain and the struggle and the hardship and the things that can seem overwhelming. It's just that with a renewed mind, this thing is so small compared to how big God is and to how great he is. And so when we have things that happen in our lives that seem so overwhelming, there's a scripture, I think it's Psalm 61. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So it's not that we don't have those feelings of being overwhelmed, but the renewed mind says, I'm going to fix my eyes on the one that's bigger than that thing that seems so overwhelming right now. It means, I think, getting to a quiet place. I'm just gonna tell you a couple things that I think are really helpful. Get to a quiet place and ask for God's heart and God's mind and God's perspective. And when I say quiet place, sometimes it means not letting the noise of the world so much, because we're overstimulated, right? In our society, we are so overstimulated, myself included. There's just noise. And so, like, one of my favorite things is when, you know, Pastor Matt and the girls, they go for a walk with the dogs. And then I have, like, this little space of quiet time. And in that little space of quiet time, that's where I allow God to renew my mind. God, give me your thoughts about the situation. God, give me your thought, because I don't know. It's okay to tell God, I don't even know what to think about this. I think he's okay with that. And in that moment of surrender, that quiet, I think that's huge for us. Another thing that's huge, like I said, is being in God's word. Because if you're not reading the Bible at least a verse a day, how on earth are you going to know what God thinks about you, or what God wants you to think about the world around you or about yourself? So if you're struggling in this, I'm going to tell you, like I said last week, David strengthened himself in the Lord, right? He strengthened himself in the Lord. I think that part of that is reading the Bible, and you cannot expect to know what God wants you to do if you're not doing that. Like, you just can't. And I'm not saying, oh, read 2 chapters or 5 chapters or read the whole book of Leviticus or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is God has good thoughts about you. He does. And he wants us to open up our Bible. He just does. And I pray this a lot. God, give me a longing for your word, that I would just long for it the same way that I long for my Starbucks Americano. Like, I really want it. Would I long for, what does God say about me today? Would I long for that word from him? And that really helps us to have healthy hearts and minds when we're reading God's words. I just kind of want to close with this one. I was thinking about the mind of Christ. So we want to have a transformed mind, right? We want to have a renewed mind, that we're going to be changed as we're growing spiritually, as we're maturing, right? So we can be patient with ourselves, right? Be patient. It's not like an overnight thing. But like I said, it's over time. These little choices that we make matter. It matters now for your future. But I was thinking about God's mind. And in Philippians 2, it says, verse 5, have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to death on the cross. And then it says, therefore God also highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But what he's saying is, have this mind in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus. So when I think about a renewed mind, I'm thinking, what kind of mind did Jesus have? What was the mind of Christ? What does that mean? And what I see here in this passage of scripture is humility. 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 Because it says he emptied himself. He wasn't worried about equality with God. He wasn't worried about his rights. He says, here I am. He was obedient even to death on the cross. He humbled himself. He came with a lot of humility. And so I'm thinking that the mind of Christ, one of the key markers of that would be that it's humble. So that's something for us to be praying for, you know, because I want to have the mind of Christ. This means I need to be what? Humble, humility, empty, lay down my rights. Like I said at the beginning, what am I willing to lay down for God and just allow his mind to permeate my thoughts, and then that will transform my actions. A lot of times, you know, we struggle. We do the things that we don't want to do. I don't know if I'm the only one, but if you've done something over and over again that you don't really want to do, you know it's not good for you. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to tell me. I just know that probably we've all done something in the past couple of weeks that we wished we hadn't done, or we don't think we should do it. But we kind of underestimate how important our mind is in terms of what we end up actually doing. And that's why scripture says if you even think it, you've done it. Right, especially we're talking about like lust and stuff like that. He's saying when you think it, it's like you've done it. And I think the reason is because he's emphasizing how important it is what's happening in our mind. We think if it's in our mind, doesn't hurt anybody because nobody can see it. Nobody can hear it. You know, we think that. It's just between me and God, you know, whatever. Nobody knows. But what you are thinking is what you're becoming, and it's what you end up doing. Most of the things that people do that are unhealthy, things that can even destroy your marriage or your family or whatever, people have thought about it a lot before. Like, I'm just telling you, I've talked to a lot of people about this. They think about it, 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 justify it, think about it, think about it, and then do it. And so what that tells me is that we need to be really intentional about taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. Means that we need to be allowing God to transform our minds. So, does anybody want to have a mind that is transformed, that's thinking good stuff, that's thinking things that honor God, that's a mind that is forgiving, a mind that is loving, a mind that seeks the best for people and sees things through God's eyes? That's the perspective that I want to have. I want to have the mind and the heart of Christ. So we're going to close today with prayer. I just would like for you to all bow your heads, close your eyes. And we're gonna ask God to kind of do something in us. I pray, God, first of all, that you would I don't know. I just feel like you want to remind us of how powerful you are. It really struck me that, like, as big as the problem or the obstacle or whatever that thing is, that you are so much bigger and your power is so much greater. And we're seeing a world around us that's telling us everything that's wrong and everything that's a problem. But God, you are so much bigger than all of that. And I pray, God, that we would fix our eyes on you as the solution, that we would fix our eyes on you and your promises, that we would not fix our eyes like I have in the past on, like, fear and insecurities, God, but that we would fix our eyes on your power, on your promise, on your goodness, that we would literally ask you. I ask you right now, I'm asking for me and every person in this room, God, whose heart is being stirred. Lord, I ask that you would give us eyes to see through the lens of Christ, through your love, through your compassion, and through your grace, that we would see what is happening around us with your eyes and with your heart, God, and that we would love the way that you want us to love. I pray that we would recognize that we do not have to be slaves to our thoughts, that you died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we could actually be overcomers. So, Lord, I pray for every unhealthy thought pattern. I pray, God, that we would begin today by asking you, Lord, to help us to think differently. So we start with that today, Lord, a small commitment to ask you to help us, Lord, to think differently. I don't know what it is for each person in this room, but we've all got something where you're wanting us to look at it with fresh eyes, with your perspective. And Lord, I pray that we would be committed to opening up our Bible every day and reading at least one verse from you so that we would hear your heart and your thought about it, and that we would meditate on that, that we would meditate on your word, on your promise. And then, Lord, thirdly, I pray that we would be people who are willing to connect with another person that loves you, that can speak life over us, that will help us on this journey of renewing our minds. Instead of jumping on a bandwagon with us and being negative and feeding into our fears or feeding into our anger or feeding into our insecurity, that we would have somebody that's speaking life over us, that's speaking the truth of your love and your grace. So I pray that for each and every one of us, that we'd be willing to reach out and connect with somebody so that can happen. And I pray for freedom and character to be built, Lord, that would honor you through our minds, that we would be healthy people, healthy mentally, strong mentally, because of your Holy Spirit in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.